We're going to enter our proper series now, okay? This is Life with Christ. Now, in Unicoi, if you come on Friday nights, I know that you guys are doing like a whole worldview series, okay? You're doing like a series on like, oh, let's look at like different topics in the world and let's see how the Bible like speaks to them. And I think that's very important. Actually, me and Tiff were thinking about doing that this semester as well, until we heard that you're doing it in Unicoi. Once we found out you were doing it in Unicoi, we said, okay, we'll pull back, we'll do something else because we don't want to repeat it. And so I said, okay, what can we do? And I said, instead of looking at the world, okay, using the Bible and looking at the world, doing like a whole worldview series, let's turn it around the other way. Let's have the Bible look at us instead. So for our series, Life of Christ, we're going to be examining more of these heart issues, okay? It's more personal things. This is this week's anxiety piece. I actually at one point put anxiety and depression together, but I said, oh, I can't do it. It's too much. So I'm breaking it up, okay? We're going to have about 8 weeks of this. Maybe nine, because I have like a final lesson. But yeah, these are the topics we're talking about. And look how it deals with more heart issues, okay? I think that this is going to be hard. I think this is going to be kind of difficult. I think that I was preparing this lesson, and I was already like really challenged personally. So not only like challenged in my ability to teach it, but I was a little bit challenged in terms of like, how do I actually wrestle with this topic and how does it relate to me in my life? And the thing is that like for every one of these, I'm going to give you like one like anchor passage, which is like just one main passage that we're going to go into. I don't want you to think that, oh, that's like one answer, you know, it's not. The Bible speaks to all these things in many different ways, but because I have to do this in a class, I'm just going to give you one text and we're going to go deep into that. Okay. So that's kind of like why I'm going to put a verse here. We're anchoring ourselves in that text. There's also different texts that speak about it. Okay. That's just how we're going to do it. What else can I tell you about this series? Yeah. I'm going to do a week of like the teaching part, and then Tiff will do a part where, she'll do more group activities. I know that last week we did the activities on the board. Me and Tiff have a spreadsheet where we put all those questions down. We will try to tackle them, but most likely the way we tackle them will probably be in Tiff's portion, okay? Because my portion is going to be more like, okay, let's just see what the Bible says first, generally, before we answer individual questions. So Tiff's portion will probably deal with those questions, and maybe we'll podcast about it. I don't know. But yes, this is our series, okay? Hang on to this. By the time like Mother's Day comes, we'll be done. All right. So yeah, this will only be like a short period of time, and that might be good, because if it's bad, then we'll be able to get through it quicker. But yeah, Life of Christ. I'm excited for it. I'm a little bit scared too. This is like our main like verse, and Tiff chose this verse last week. I think it was really good because I went home and I thought about it. And I was like, dude, you know what? This is exactly what we need. Let me read it to you. Okay, it's from James. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Okay, so this whole verse is all about doing God's word. All right. Now, it gives us an example of a mirror. Right? It says, so, like, if you go look at yourself in the mirror and you see that you have junk in your teeth, and then you don't do anything about it, but you just walk away and you forget about it, then you're foolish, right? Like, what's the point of a mirror? If you see it, you see the flaw right in front of you, but then you just go away and you just say, whatever, I forget about it. You don't act upon it. That's the illustration. In the same way, when you have God's word and you're looking at this like a mirror, and it shows you who God is, and it shows you who you are, and you just walk away from it and you say, okay, whatever. That's foolishness, right? We're supposed to look at God's word, see who God is, see who we are, and actually act upon it. Clean up the junk in your teeth. Clean up your sin. Change your life, or have your life be changed by Christ. That's the whole point of this, right? If you don't do that, then your teeth will rot, and you will have cavities, and that won't be good for you. If you don't clean up your sin, then your soul might have some problems because of that, you know? So put the word of God into practice. I think that's the overarching like kind of verse that we want to take away from this, especially as we're looking at the heart issues, right? If we're going to be looking at ourselves, let's look at ourselves, give it an honest take, right? I will give it an honest take looking at myself too, and I know Tiff will too. And so that's what we kind of expect for you guys to do too. Okay, let's be honest with our lives here and see what God's word has to say and what we're going to do about it. Now, today, we're talking about anxiety, okay? And as I was thinking about this lesson, I was like, okay, how can I do this? Okay, anxiety is such a broad topic, okay? I read, like, so much stuff, okay, in preparation for this. I read that apparently anxiety is an issue for teenagers. I don't know if it is or not, okay, really, but I believe it is. I believe it is for me. Okay, I think it was for me as well growing up. I can specifically remember in elementary school, and it's sad because my children are like this too. They get anxious, and I was anxious too. I was so anxious when I was in elementary school that I could not talk publicly. I would stutter and I would freeze. Okay, it's crazy. All right, like you know how you have to like read and you have to go around like and give answers. I couldn't do it. I would freeze and stuff. I'll tell you more about that maybe another time. But anyways, yeah, I think anxiety is a big deal for teenagers. I think that I read a lot that social media is a big deal. It causes anxiety. I think social media causes anxiety in my life too. Okay, so I'm not saying that it's only a teen issue. I read that because of COVID and because of online school, like anxiety is a big deal. And I think that's true for me too because I'm working and COVID was a big deal for my working life too. All right, so what I'm trying to say is that, like, I believe that anxiety is an issue in your life, and I will not, like, gloss over that. I do believe it, okay? I believe it's an issue in my life, too. And so I think we can be sort of on the same page here. Today, we're talking about the common experience of anxiety, okay? And when I say common, I mean that I think there's types of anxiety that we all experience. Whether that's because of school or because of friends or because of family, okay, a type, common type. I do think, though, that there is a clinical type of anxiety which might be related to panic attacks and crippling anxiety, where you actually, like, cannot function with your life, where your heart rate and blood pressure just get so extreme that, like, you literally, like, are shaking and trembling and you get kind of stuck there. I think that's real. So I'm a nurse, all right? So I believe in medicine. I believe in, like, the medical world. Yeah, I think it's real, okay? I know the medicine that they give for this type of stuff, all right? And so, yeah, I do think that there's that type of anxiety, too. So I want to distinguish those two because while I'm going to present to you the Bible, which I do believe is sufficient, I actually also do believe that medicine is a common grace of God. And if you go to the doctor and they say, hey, you have a problem here, and you know that you have a problem, then please get help by all means, okay? Finally, always reach out and let someone know if you are experiencing self-harm or suicidal thoughts because of anxiety, okay? Blanket statement, I just gotta say it. I'll probably say that every week. I'm pro-life 100% to the extreme, and that means no suicide, that means no self-harm, okay? Not tolerated, basically, okay? I don't know what else to say to that, but... no, seriously, like, whenever we talk about sin or these type of heart issues, like, you should never feel that, like, oh, man, like, dude, the Bible's just, like, getting on me and I'm hopeless. No, that's not true. Jesus Christ is our ultimate hope. God gives us common graces of family and friends and medicine. And so, yes, please always reach out and let someone know if you're experiencing those things, okay? General disclaimers. Probably have to go through this every week just because of the sensitivity of these topics. Let me define anxiety for you. I was choking my water. Anxiety is a state of intense apprehension, uncertainty, and fear. Okay. Oh, maybe over there. Sorry, man. I saw it on the table. I didn't know it was yours. A state of intense apprehension, uncertainty, and fear. Okay. I think we've all experienced this. That's the example we're going to go through today. Let me give you an example from my life that will also serve as an illustration for you, okay? I've been through many anxious events in my life. Let me just rattle off some for you, okay? School, I remember that I was so anxious that I was getting a C in my trigonometry class that I had to go to my dad and tell him, I'm going to get a C in my trigonometry class. And I was so scared, I was so anxious, and he just said, it's fine, whatever. Okay, but the fear that I felt about that C, because I've never had a C before in school, I got anxious. I didn't know what to do. I thought my GPA was going to like plummet. You know, it was bad. Okay. What else have I been anxious? I've been anxious because of work recently. I had to do some changes in my responsibilities at work. I'm anxious about it. I don't know like, you know, if it's going to work out for this next year, like the projects that I got to take on. You know, yeah, work is anxious. Like, it's a state of uncertainty. I don't know the future, right? And so there's a general fear that I have. Let me tell you about another one. There's another instance in my life. I was like 23 or 24, and I liked this girl, okay? She's my wife, okay? I like Jess, okay? But we weren't married at the time. We weren't even dating at the time. We weren't really talking at the time, okay? We were like friends, we were acquaintances because of church, okay? We played music on worship team together, you know, that type of stuff. And I was like, oh man, dude, I think I like her. I think I need to ask her out now. And I was anxious. Never been this type of anxious before in my life. Okay, I've been anxious because of school. Okay, I've been anxious because of like I don't know, piano recitals, you know, silly stuff like that. But not this type of anxious. Okay, let me tell you what made me anxious. It's anxious because I was scared that Jess wouldn't like me. Okay, I was like, oh, am I cool enough? You know? Am I, like, funny enough? You know, my career as a nurse, like, is that good enough for her to like me and to want to move on with a relationship? You know, I hang out with a certain type of people. You know, how's she gonna feel about that? I have certain habits that I like to do, certain hobbies. I'm really into music. You know, I do a lot of things at church, and she does too, right? But is she going to be on board with how, you know, what I really like do with my time and stuff? You know, is she really going to like that? I was anxious. Like, am I good looking enough? You know, like, am I handsome enough? Am I like attractive enough for her? Right? I don't know, man. There's just a lot of stuff to be anxious about. And I was scared. I was scared. Now, this is an illustration, okay? So let me come back to this, all right? Let me tell you what the Bible has to say about my anxiety, okay? Now, you're going to have other types of anxiety. But again, this is the Bible. Okay, we're talking about the Bible here now. Let me change our mindset a little bit, okay? That illustration is a little bit silly, okay? But let me give you a change of pace here. This is our anchor verse, okay? And I'm going to go through this a little bit in depth, okay? This is from the book of 1 Peter. When Peter was writing this, it's talking to persecuted Christians, okay? So a serious topic. People are getting persecuted because of their faith, all right? People are dying, all right? They're getting put in prison. It's a tumultuous time, all right? It's not good. So when Peter's writing this, you know, he's writing to the church, okay? He's writing to leaders in church, but he's also just writing to the church in general. And this is what he says, all right? And we're going to go through this. And what I'm going to show you is that I'm going to show you that there's actually, like, 5 points here, okay, that we can learn about God, okay? There's actually 5 points that we can learn here about God. And I'm gonna show that to you right now. So pay attention, all right? This is important. Because I think that when we look at these 5 points about God, it will help us cure some of these general anxieties that we experience. I do. Now, a lot of times, the verses that people go to when they talk about anxiety are the verses about prayer. Okay? And I think that's good. I think that's good. I think this verse also talks about prayer, but I think it gives us more. So let me show you. Okay? It'll talk about prayer later over here. Okay? But right here. First, the first thing that we're going to see about God is that God is supreme. All right, God is supreme. That's the first one. God is supreme. So the verse tells us to humble ourselves, right? When we're anxious, why are we worried? Okay, why are we fearful? We're fearful because we think that we need to be able to control something. We're fearful and we're worried because we think we need to measure up to some sort of standard. We're fearful or worried because we think that we're not in control over a certain situation or controlling, like, the future. And so this verse, before it even tells you, oh, go pray to God, it tells you, hey, humble yourself, man. Humble yourself. You are not in control, okay? You're not. You're not in control of your life. You're not able to, like, make any change in the world. Humble yourself. You know who can? You know who is in total control? It's God. So humble yourself. Know your place. Know your priorities. And it might seem rude, okay, but it's true. We are creatures. We're creatures here. So humble yourselves before God. God is supreme. All right? God is supreme. You take your anxieties, you look at it in the grand scheme of things, they're really small. They're really small. But that doesn't mean it's not important, all right? And I'll talk about that later. It doesn't mean they're not important, but just think about it for a second. Kind of get your mind out of yourself, okay? And look at the world and humble yourself before God. God is supreme, and he's the one, okay, that we need to be actually more concerned about. So God is supreme. That should help you with your anxiety. Next, you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Okay, you posture yourself. You say, "Okay, God, I know that my worries they're really small compared to the grand scheme of things, but I'm going to present them before you, and I know that they're not so small that they're insignificant. I know that if they're small, you can definitely do something about it. That's what it means to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. When the Bible talks about God's mighty hand." It brings into, like, your mind these pictures of, like, what God did in the Exodus, right? It always talks about God's mighty outstretched hand helping his people, right? Whether it's dealing with Pharaoh or whether it's dealing with the Israelites in the wilderness wandering, you're always hearing about God's mighty hand doing things. And so Peter is reminding us that, hey, yeah, humble yourself, but don't forget God is able to help you. And so what I would say is that remember that God is sovereign, okay? God is sovereign. So God is supreme and God is sovereign. He's in control. He's in control of everything. He can help you. He can help you. He has the ability to change the course, the trajectory of your life. He has the ability to change the hearts of kings and of parents and of people. And God can do whatever he wants. Of bosses. God can do anything. And so you humble yourself and you put yourself in a humble position knowing that God is supreme. And in a humble position, knowing that God is sovereign. And you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. Okay, now remember, we're thinking about persecuted Christians, right? That's really the main audience here. Okay, but they're fearful, they're worried, right? And Peter tells them, hey, look, I know that you're experiencing some hardships. I know that some of you are dying. I know that some of you are being persecuted. But as Christians, we know that one day, whether here on earth or in heaven, God will exalt you. You will be glorified. You will be lifted up with Jesus, with God in heaven. And everyone will see that. So remember that, okay? It's remember that God is faithful. Okay, that's the third one, okay? God is faithful. God is supreme. God is sovereign. And God is faithful. God will make everything work out because he promises that he will take care of us. He promises that he's going to work everything out together for good, whether that's here on earth or here in heaven. Next, God is trustworthy. Okay, God is trustworthy. So the verse tells us to cast your anxieties on him. And that's why I was like, oh man, this, I got to go with this verse. This talks about anxieties, right? These persecuted Christians, they're scared, obviously, okay? They're scared for their lives. Peter tells them, cast your anxieties, cast your worries, cast your fears upon God. He can handle it, right? He's supreme. He's sovereign. He's faithful. God can do it. So cast your anxieties to him. When the Bible says, like, cast, it means, like, to just give it over to him, submit it to him. You know, like toss it to him, throw it to him. You can trust him that he's going to catch it, that he's going to take it in. You can trust God. So that's the fourth one. Okay, God is trustworthy. And really, you know, the way we do that is by prayer, right? And so that's why I say, yeah, those Bible verses on prayer, yeah, it's true. I believe in those wholeheartedly. But here it's telling you, hey, cast your anxieties on him. Like, give it to him in prayer. Just throw all your worries, all your concerns onto him. Lay it out before him. God wants to hear what's on your heart. He really does. Okay, even these small insignificant things, even the big life issues that you deal with, God wants to hear it. And you know that he will hear it. You know that he will listen. You know that he will pay attention to you. Because he cares for you. He cares for you. And that's the fifth thing about God that we can see here. God is loving. God is loving. Okay, God actually cares about the plight of his people. Yes, people are suffering. Yes, people are persecuted. Yes, we deal with anxiety and stress all the time. And God does really care for us. He does care about his children. The Bible talks about God being our Father, right? God talks about God being our Father. And that's really the kind of picture that Peter's trying to paint here. He cares for you. Like a father cares for his children, right? If the son or daughter is scared or anxious or worried, the parent actually does care, and the parent will do anything in their ability to help, okay? And that's God's heart attitude. Sometimes our parents here on earth, they're not a good reflection of God, okay? Sometimes they are, and I think that's great. Sometimes they're not. And so I do want to be sensitive here, because when we look at God's parenting, you can't always draw the equal comparison to earthly parenting. You have to remember that God is perfect, right? He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't sin. And his love is 100% perfect in that too. Okay, you can believe that God cares for you, like how God cares for all of his children. Okay, so those five things that we can see in this verse. And it took me a minute to figure out, like, man, there's a lot in here. God is supreme. God is sovereign. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God is loving. You know, you see that God is all these things. It really causes you to put your life in a little bit more perspective. And this is the big idea, okay? Christians can be free from anxiety. I do believe it, okay? I do believe Christians can be free from anxiety by humbly trusting in the sovereign care of their Heavenly Father. Christians can be free from anxiety by humbly trusting in the sovereign care of their Heavenly Father. Now, let me backtrack a little bit, okay? Anxiety, like the feeling, the emotion, the thing that you experience, is that a sin or not? Now, I think at one point, I think there are some texts that you might be able to argue that, yeah, it is. If it gets to the point where you're just like totally like, I don't trust God, you know, like I'm just so anxious. But maybe just a common like fleeting feeling of anxiety, you know, maybe it's not as sinful as I think. And I'm not sure. I think it's kind of a gray line, and sometimes it might be different for different people. I think some types of anxiety are sinful. I think some types are not. Okay. Maybe that's a better way to say it. Okay. And let me explain to you why maybe this might be the case, okay? When you look at the life of Jesus, I was like, dude, well, did Jesus experience anxiety? Because if he did, that would make it sinful, and therefore Jesus sinned. But if anxiety isn't sinful, then that just means Jesus experienced something, like an emotion that we all experience. And maybe that might be maybe more accurate, because Jesus is said to have lived his life, you know, to experience things like we do, but without sin, right? And so let me just give you this kind of as like a proof text, maybe. Okay, of a proof text. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, okay, this was like his final hour, right? And so it's his final moment before he was betrayed, right? Gethsemane, it's interesting because Gethsemane actually means like wine press or grape press. Okay, so Jesus was under this intense pressure in his life right before he was being crucified. And I would like to think, actually, or as I'm reading this, you know, with anxiety at the top of my brain, I'm thinking, dude, Jesus, he's anxious during this time, I think. I don't know, like, I just feel like he is. So let's look at this, okay? Let me see if I can persuade you here. Jesus prays in Gethsemane, okay? Jesus is going to be praying. I think he's anxious because he's going to be going to the cross, okay? He knows it. He knows he's going to be betrayed, and he's going to pray, right? He's going to pray. He's going to ask his disciples to, hey, stay awake with, be awake with me and pray with me. But they're not going to do that. They're going to fall asleep. Okay, let's see what happens here. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Okay, so, you know, you don't want to read too much into the text, right? But it does say that Jesus was sorrowful and troubled, right? Even to death. So let's just, for the sake of argument, let's just, maybe if Jesus was anxious, let's see how this plays out. Jesus being anxious, what does he do? He falls on his face and prays, okay? Which, when you fall on your face in order to pray, that's an act of humility. You're humbling yourself before God, right? Knowing that God is supreme, right? You're going to God, humbling yourself. God is supreme, so that's what Jesus did. What else did he do? He said, my Father, remember, God is caring, loving toward us like a father is, right? Jesus knows that God cares for him, so he's going to go to him with his anxiety, with his trouble, with his sorrow. If it be possible, okay, and Jesus, of course, he knows that God is able to do all things. He knows that God is sovereign, right? And so here he is saying, God, I know that you are able to do it if it's possible. So I'm just going to say it. I know that something is possible here. If it's possible, please let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Okay? God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. Jesus says, hey, God, even whatever happens here, I'm going to trust you in this. I'm going to trust you. And then it goes on, and then this is where it really kind of hit me here. It says, then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later. See, the hour is at hand. I think we're going to go through this. I think this is really happening. I think I'm going to be betrayed here. But the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Okay? Now, when Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, it means two things. First, it means that, yes, Jesus is human. But secondly, it means that Jesus is actually God. And it means that Jesus is actually the Messiah. It means that Jesus is like this kind of like this figure that's going to be like sovereign ruler over everything. Okay, that's kind of what it's hitting on there. And in, when Jesus says that, I see that as Jesus saying, hey, God, you're going to be faithful in this situation. Okay, God, I know that I'm getting betrayed into the hands of sinners, but I am still the Son of Man. God, you're going to be faithful to me. I will be raised as the Messiah. I will be elevated. And so I see all these points that we talked about in this little interaction here. I see that Jesus knows that God is supreme. I see that Jesus knows that God is loving. I see that Jesus knows that God is sovereign. I see that Jesus knows that God is trustworthy. And I see that Jesus knows that God is going to be faithful in the end. If Jesus was anxious during this moment, he didn't sin. He didn't sin. He casted all his cares upon God. And he was able to do it perfectly, you know? And so if he wasn't anxious, then that's great. That just makes Jesus great, right? Like, Jesus is awesome. And I love that. But if he was anxious, then Jesus is maybe even more glorious than what I've ever seen him to be before, you know? Because he went through all this, and he went through it perfectly. Didn't flinch. Not a problem for him. And, you know, in this, you know, you see that the Father, these are just kind of some discussion points that I want us to think about when we're looking at the story. It's funny, okay? It's sad, it's messed up, but it's funny that Jesus says, hey, keep watch with me, right? Keep watch with me. Where does he say it? It says it somewhere here. Watch and pray, you know, watch. But they're not able to do that. You know, they just fall asleep like three times. Whereas God is there with him the entire time, listening to Jesus' prayers. You know, we go to our friends sometimes, like with our anxiety, but at the end of the day, like, we need to go to God, right? And then here, I do believe Jesus can be anxious yet without sin. You know, that should give us hope for when we do experience anxiety. We can look to Jesus as an example to follow. And then finally, this is really important here. Was Jesus' prayer answered? And I think there's multiple components in Jesus' prayer. And so I want to say that in one sense, no, it wasn't answered, because the cup did not pass from him, right? He really did have to endure God's wrath. He really did have to do that. But also, yeah, his prayer was answered, because God's will was done and Jesus was glorified at the end of it. So, you know, I think there's a little bit of both. And I think there is like a slight lesson there for us too. Sometimes when you're anxious, God, your prayers will not be answered the way that you want it to be. Sometimes when you're anxious about a test and you say, oh God, please help me pass this test, you won't. You'll fail. You'll get a C. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. You can still bring your anxieties to God. I don't think that the outcome is necessarily like the solution to fixing your anxiety. Okay. And that's why it's a hard issue, right? Because the outcome is outside of you. What you're dealing with, what the real battle is how you deal with God in your heart, how you talk to him and how you relate to him as your Heavenly Father, who is supreme and sovereign and trustworthy and loving and faithful. When I was so anxious about calling Jess, okay, there was a moment in time where I was anxious about calling Jess to ask her to be my girlfriend or whatever. The thing that made me not anxious was that I was able to say, hey, you know what? Okay, maybe I'm not like the coolest guy. Maybe I'm not like the funniest guy. Maybe I'm not like the most handsome guy. Maybe I don't have like, you know, like the coolest or most lucrative career, or maybe my hobbies aren't, you know, necessarily like the most fun. But I stopped looking at myself and I said, hey, you know what? I like Jess. I like Jess, and I can list all these qualities about why I like Jess. You know, and once I was able to get my eyes off myself and look at her instead, then I was able to say, hey, you know what? I'm not anxious anymore. I want to do this. I want to call her because I don't care about myself anymore. You know, the anxiety is gone because I saw the value and the worth and kind of the motive to want to do that, because I started looking at her instead, getting my eyes off of myself and looking at her. And that's what was able to push me over the edge and say, okay, I'm going to make this call. I'm going to ask her if she wants, you know, to be my girlfriend or to go out on a date or whatever. I told you that that's an illustration, right? God is not our girlfriend, definitely. But when you're able to get your eyes off of yourself. And when you're able to look at who God is, I think you're going to be able to move on with a lot of things in your life. I think you're going to be able to battle some of those anxieties. I think you will be able to move on and push forward and take the next step of faith, because you know that it's not necessarily about who you are. It's about who God is. And He will make it worth it. He is supreme. He is sovereign. He is faithful, trustworthy, and loving. And when you know who you are, and you say, okay, I'm anxious, but when you look at God, He will be worth it. And I think that might help us with some of our anxiety.